Today, God, I bow in your presence to thank you for life. To thank you, dear God, for the honor of speaking for you. I ask you first, dear God, forgive my sins. Using the blood of Christ, that heavenly detergent, remove every spot, every stain from me, that I may be a fit vessel to be used by you as I humble myself in your presence. Dear God in heaven, put your words in my mouth. Put your thoughts in my mind. Give me the Spirit of Christ, that I may speak boldly, dear God, but also speak with the consciousness that I'm a sinner. Bless all those who've come. Remember our special guests, Joel, Brad, and Stephen. We thank you for their presence, and I ask you, Lord, to move in their lives in a very powerful way. Now, Father, come close to us, not simply to us, but through your Spirit come into us. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. Our subject, binding and restraining. Someone on this side, what did I say? Matthew 12, reading from verse 22. We read from the King James Version of the Bible. Matthew 12, reading from verse 22. With the pastor's permission, can I just come a little lower? I feel high and lifted up. And that's not for me. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Let's pause and review that microscopically. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and what? Dumb. And he, who's that? Healed him, who's that? The one possessed. Now the word insofar, give me a synonym for insofar. Another word that means the same thing, or another expression that means the same thing. Listen, and he healed him insofar that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. What do you understand by insofar? To such an extent. That what happened? The blind and dumb, finish the verse, both spake and saw. Now, let's look at two pairs. Blind and dumb, spake and saw. Blind, saw, dumb, spake. Those two pairs are what? You're too slow. They're what? Opposites. Follow me closely. The man was blind. He met Jesus, what happened? He saw. He was dumb. He met Jesus, what happened? He saw. What does that tell you about the extent to which God wants to work in your life? This is not just an improvement. This is a total transformation. This is an absolute reversal. From blindness to sight. From dumbness to speech, this is a total reversal of a condition. It is not merely he was less blind and less dumb. The blindness left how? Completely. The dumbness left completely. God's desire for you and for me is a total reversal of our condition. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he has divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Now verse 28 and 29. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, finish the verse, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now we have two kingdoms. Look at verse 26. If Satan cast out Satan, finish the verse, he has divided against himself, keep reading, how shall then his kingdom stand? That verse tells us that Satan has what? Come on, Satan has what? A kingdom. A kingdom is not first and foremost land. A kingdom is first and foremost subjects with a leader. Are you following me? The devil has a kingdom. And that kingdom is found in the United States, in Japan, in Kenya, in China, in Jamaica, in Tanzania, in Norway, in Australia. That kingdom is found all over the earth. The devil has a kingdom, and that kingdom has subjects. Listen to Jesus now, verse 28 and verse 29, our subject, binding and restraining. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. That man was blind and dumb in the kingdom of Satan by the power of the kingdom of Satan. He was delivered by the power of the kingdom of God. Which means the kingdom of God is in opposition to the kingdom of Satan. Those in the kingdom of God are in opposition to those in the kingdom of Satan. Adventists call that the great controversy. Let me say it again. Satan has a kingdom. God has a kingdom. Every human being is either in God's kingdom or Satan's kingdom. There is no middle ground in the war between Christ and Satan. There is no neutrality. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Now we go to verse 29, our subject, binding and restraining. Do you have Matthew 12, 29? Jesus says, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Let's look at that again. We have, if you look at verse 25, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, city or house is equivalent for kingdom. Does God have a church? What else is a church called? The house. The house of God. The church of God. The church of God is God's kingdom on earth. So verse 29, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house? Let's use the Fairplane version. Or else, how can one enter into strong man's? Don't break my heart this way. This is our first meeting. What does the third favor I ask you? Think. Listen to what I said. I said that the Bible says in verse 25, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. City or house are symbols or synonyms for kingdom. Same thing. I said to you, God has a church. How else is that church referred to? You said house. Now, listen to verse 29. Give me the Fairplane version. Here's the King James Version. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house? Now give me your version. How can one enter into strong man's kingdom? What took you so long? God's people must be sharp. I'm not joking. God's people must be sharp. You must think. Or else, how can one enter the strong man's house and spoil his goods? What did I say a kingdom has? Subjects. Now, a house is a kingdom. Then the goods in a house are what? The subjects. You're catching on. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Except he first bind the strong man. Then he will spoil his house. The word spoil is to plunder or take away. Now, the strong man in verse 29 is Satan. The one who binds him is whom? Christ. Reason with me. If Satan is strong and someone binds him, tell me something about that someone. He's stronger. Let me say it again. Excuse me. To bind a strong man, you have to be stronger than he is. Which means that Jesus is more powerful than Satan. If that's not the case, he cannot bind Satan and deliver his captives. Give me another word for deliver his captives. Save them. Salvation is possible only if the Savior is more powerful from the one he saves you from. Listen to these quotations from Ellen White. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 341, paragraph 1. What did I say? Page, paragraph. God alone can limit the power of Satan. This side, what does the quotation say? That side, are they right? Yes. Testimonies, Volume 5. Page 458, paragraph 2. Jesus can limit the power of Satan. What does the quotation say? Are they right? Yes. Evangelism, page 617, paragraph 2. The prince of the power of evil can only be held in check by the power of God in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. So Ellen White identifies three people. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 341, paragraph 1. God alone can limit the power of Satan. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 458, paragraph 2. Jesus can limit the power of Satan. Evangelism 6:17, paragraph 2. The Holy Ghost can limit the power of Satan. Meaning, the power of Satan can only be limited, controlled by divine power. Not human power. Not angelic power. Only divine power can limit the exercise of Satan's tremendous power which he has. What's our subject? Restraining. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 342, paragraph 1. What did I just say? All should understand that Satan was once an exalted angel. His rebellion shut him out of heaven, but did not destroy his powers and make him a beast. Before Satan sinned, or he was Lucifer, who was the most powerful being in heaven? Quickly. Lucifer. After God. Thanks. After God. Who was the most powerful created being in heaven? Lucifer. He's the one who sinned and became Satan. Now, the servant of the Lord tells us, when he left heaven, he left with all his power. All. He is still the most powerful being in the universe after God. I am not here to glorify the devil. But sometimes to appreciate sweet, you've got to understand bitter. It is unfortunate or fortunate, I'm not sure which, that the grace of God cannot be understood unless you understand sin. There's no sin, no need for grace. Unfallen angels don't need grace. Sinners, let me say it again, it is unfortunate or fortunate, I'll ask God which one it is, that the grace of God, the love of God, cannot be fully understood outside of a study of this thing called sin. And the power of Jesus can be understood only as we, or one way to understand it is to understand how powerful Satan is. And so we go back to Matthew 12:29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, captives, unless he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. The Bible is saying it takes a stronger man to bind a strong man and release his captives. Now why does Jesus have to break into Satan's house, tie him up, and deliver his captives? There's a frightening reason for that. Go to Isaiah 14. We read from verse 12 of Isaiah 14. Very familiar passage. Our subject, binding and restraining. As anyone said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth yet. Anyone has, God bless you. I mean it very sincerely. God bless you. Thank you. I really need that help. Do you have Isaiah 14? Bow your heads with me. Father, as I enter the second half of this message, continue to be with me. If I've said anything I shouldn't have said, forgive me, dear God. If I behaved in such a way as to cause the Spirit to back up, forgive me, and let Him fill me once more as I come to the second half of this message. If I wasn't very clear the first half, let me be twice as clear in the second. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 14 from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that it shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? Finish verse 17. That opened not the house of his prisoners. Understand one thing about the devil. If I tell you that, let me tell you this. Fallen man is Satan's lawful captive. I read your unspoken request, which is, say that again. Let me say it slowly. Fallen man is Satan's lawful captive. I say differently. A sinner, unconverted, in his carnal state, legally belongs to Satan, and God respects that legal right. Let me say it again. God cannot deliver a person unless it is done legally. Not legalistically. Legally. Let me say it differently. God cannot forgive your sins unless He does it legally. Not legalistically. Listen to the most popular verse on forgiveness. You know it. Don't have to turn. If we forgive, if we confess our sins, say it with me, He is faithful and just. Stop. He is faithful and just. What does faithful mean? Diligent, reliable, dependable. You can count on him to forgive you. But that's not enough. It must be a just act. Is anyone listening to me? Forgiveness must be a just act or God cannot do it. Now, to justify is to make right. Forgiveness must be right in the light of a standard of righteousness, of justice and rightness, and that is the law of God. Because Jesus satisfied the law on the basis of that blood, God can forgive you. Forgiveness must be done with an eye for rightness, justice. It must not upset God's law. A sinner, unconverted, apart from Christ, legally belongs to the devil. And something legal must be done to deliver him. And that legal means is the provision of grace. Let me say it quickly. God, through his grace, found a way that is just to deliver people. So when God gives the law, that's an act of grace. Are you following me? The greatest act of grace, other than giving Christ, is God writing the law in the heart. That's an act of grace. Because if he doesn't write it, no one can keep it. So for those who separate law and grace, that's impossible. The giving of the law was an act of grace. But we go back to Isaiah 14:17. He opened not the house of his prisoners. The devil does not voluntarily release anyone under his control. He does not voluntarily release people. Then someone has to do it by force. But at invitation. What did I say? Someone has to do it how? By force, but at invitation. That man who was blind and dumb was brought to Christ. In his possessed condition, there must have been some little area in his mind not controlled by the devil where he was crying out for help. Like the demoniac of the Gadarenes. Some little area crying for help. Because God lightens every man that comes into the world. To everyone is given the measure of faith. There's a little something in everyone. It's from an external source that is in a person that allows the person to reach out to God or respond to God's reaching, I should say. And so at his invitation, however slight, Jesus exercised power. Bound the devil. Deliver that man from blindness to sight, from dumbness to speech, from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. In order for Jesus to do that, he must be more powerful than Satan. But follow me one step higher. Before sin, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, each one fully divine. Let me say it again. There are Adventists who don't believe it. With respect to nature and substance, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are like that. With respect to what? Substance and nature. With respect to function, they are like this. Holy Spirit, Son, Father. Are you following me? Let me do it again. With respect to substance and nature, Father, Son, Holy Ghost are like this. In other words, the Father isn't more divine than the Son, nor is the Son more divine than the Holy Spirit. With regard to their function, they're this. That's why Jesus could say, my Father is greater than I. He is greater with respect to function and office, not divinity, because he said, my Father and I are one. And Christ cannot contradict himself. Now, before sin, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, equally God, equally divine, equally powerful, right under them was whom? Lucifer. Which means, as I said earlier, the most powerful created being was Lucifer. But since he left, and he left with all his power, he is still the most powerful created being. The greatest power outside of God's power is Satan's power. Then to conquer him, it requires a power equal with God's power. You didn't hear me. You said nothing. Is it possible you're listening? You are. All right. Let me say it again anyhow. If you're a teacher, you know the power of repetition. I'll say differently. To conquer Satan, you must be as powerful as God. Because after Satan, the next level of power is God. Are you with me? To conquer Satan, you need the power of God. Now, listen to 1 John 3 verse 8. Just listen. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is the power of the devil. In order for the Son of Man, or the Son of God, to destroy the work of Satan, he must exercise a power greater than Satan's power. And the only power greater than Satan's power is the power of God. Which means that Jesus, finish my words, is God. Come on, say amen for Jesus. I never said Jesus is the Father. I said Jesus is God. As much as the Father is God, as much as the Holy Ghost is God, Jesus is God. And so one of his names is Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Without contradiction, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who became flesh? Jesus Christ. Who was that? God. In the battle with sin, we need the power of God. What do I mean by the battle with sin? An atheist can break bad habits without God's direct involvement. You don't have to be converted to break some bad habits. There are people who decide, look, smoking is too expensive, I'm going to stop, and they stop. Some people decide, let me stop gambling, let me stop beating my husband. People decide to stop doing all sorts of things. You cannot decide to change your nature. I lost you. I keep losing you all morning. What did I just say you cannot do? You cannot, you can decide, yes. You can decide. But you can't do it. A change of nature from carnal to spiritual is accomplished only by the greatest power in the universe. That is the power of God. And that transaction is not an improvement in the life. It is a transformation. And the power that does it is the power of Christ. Come tonight as I talk about Christ again. What's our subject? What's our theme for the week? Who is that man? Listen to me. There's nothing the devil gets you to do that Christ can't get you to stop. Because Christ is more powerful, finish my words, than the devil. You can't stop watching pornography. Christ can get you to stop. But you must want to stop. Even the desire to stop is a gift from Christ. Every correct sentiment, every noble urge, every desire to do right comes from God. Because in the carnal flesh, it profiteth nothing. Can't stop smoking? Christ can help you stop. Everything that contradicts God is an expression of Satan's power. Whether smoking, drinking, fornication, adultery, lesbianism, homosexuality, pornography, beating your spouse, cheating, always late. All of that, expressions of Satan's power in the light. Yes, I said always late. Is God ever late? Why are we so slow? I said, is God ever late? No. The most on-time people should be Adventists. Because they're people of prophecy. And if prophecy is not fulfilled on time, God's word is absolutely not reliable. Don't tell me about colored people's time, or white people's time, or blue people's time. We need God's time. God's time is... Lateness is an expression of Satan is satanic. Sloppiness is satanic. Carelessness is satanic. When God told Moses to make the sanctuary, Moses had to follow every single detail. Exactly as God said, that is godliness. So when you're careful about what you eat, that's godliness. When you're careful how you dress, that's godliness. When you're careful how you speak, that's godliness. When I am sloppy, that's satanic influence in a so-called child of God. Binding and restraining at 20 after 12, or whatever that clock is saying. Only Satan, only Christ, can bind the devil. Who is the highest angel in heaven now? Answer quickly. Gabriel. Gabriel is not as powerful as Satan. In Daniel 10, Gabriel was sent to answer the prayer of Daniel. And Gabriel had to explain why it took 3 weeks. Now, God sent Gabriel with the answer. And Gabriel said in verse 12 of Daniel 10, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard from the first day. And I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Now this is Gabriel. Who is the prince of the kingdom of Persia? It's a name for Satan. Not just any angel. A name for Satan. Because no ordinary angel can intimidate Gabriel. Because Gabriel is the highest. Gabriel is saying, Satan held me up. And Michael, one of the chief princes, being Father, Son, Holy Ghost, came to help me. Gabriel needed help to deal with Satan. Are you with me? Now, if Gabriel needed help, you better believe you need help. No one conquers sin because of a PhD. But don't give yours up. Keep it. No one conquers sin because you're connected to the governor of Michigan. You don't conquer sin because you're a vegetarian. There are a lot of atheists who are vegetarians. You conquer sin because you're connected to Jesus Christ. You don't conquer sin because you're an Adventist, but don't leave the church. Come tonight. You conquer sin and I conquer sin because we are connected to the source of power greater than Satan's power. If you have the Zika virus, you want an injection that will overthrow the Zika virus, right or wrong? Yes. If you have the flu, you want a flu shot to get rid of the flu. Sin is a flu. We need a flu shot. It's called Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And he'll destroy it. This week, I am presenting Jesus Christ, the only answer to sin. The only answer to this world's problems. As it is now, we relocate problems or we get rid of one, another one pops up. You get rid of famine in this country, it pops up in that country. Because as long as this world is under satanic control, problems will occur. Because problems are the natural outcome of sin. When Christ comes, problems are not relocated, they are eliminated forever. That is seen on a smaller scale in the personal life. The problem of sin can be eliminated permanently from our lives now before Jesus comes. And that has to happen. It will happen by the power of the life of Christ living in you and in me. And so this morning, If the devil is active in your life, Jesus can bind him. You must ask. The power is made available without permission. It can only be employed with permission. The most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world. Stop. He did not need your permission to love you. Are you with me? That He gave His only begotten Son. He did not need our permission to send Christ. That whosoever believeth, that's your permission. Come. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Invite Christ to bind Satan. Restrain his work in your life. Let me go further. Invite Christ to not only bind him, but cast him out. And Christ will do it. Was Jesus filled with the spirit of the devil? I need a louder no than that. Was Christ filled with the spirit of the devil? No. But was he bothered by the devil? Yes. So Christ can drive the devil out of you, but the devil will bother you from the outside, which is okay. You're not saved because of your skin, that's outside. You're saved because of Christ in the life. Are you following me? That's on the inside. So when Christ drives the devil out of your life, the devil will bother you. But now that Christ has taken the place on the throne of your heart, the bothering does not really bother you. Are you listening to me? It does not really bother you. Why? Because your eyes are fixed on Christ. Your mind is on Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this world. Many of us suffer because our minds are on things of this world. I met a lady. She had 6 or 7 miscarriages, one behind the other. But she wanted a child so badly, she kept going until she had one. 6 or 7 straight miscarriages would not stop. Why? I want a child. If we wanted victory over sin that badly, we'd all be sinless. Invite Christ into your life. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. Who is me? Jesus. Come. Who is he calling? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Finish the verse. I will give you rest. Come unto me. Not the church. Does he have a church? Yes. But come to me first. Then I will put you in the church. Because he has a church. But you start with him. So he says, come to me. All ye that labor, and I know some of you are laboring, with one thing or another, we are laboring. Jesus can't lie. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I will give you rest. And the rest that Jesus gives is available from no other source. Not from your money, your contacts, your education, nothing. I will give you a rest that nothing on the face of the earth can provide but I. And so today, I invite you, I appeal to you, I beg you, give your life to Christ. He is the only hope for this life and the life to come. Because what happens in the life to come is based upon what happens in this life. I recommit my life to Jesus right now. My mind, my body, my emotions, I commit to Him for service. And I ask God to strengthen me have his way with me. Anything he wants, do it. And give me the common sense to go along. Whatever you want, fine. How many of you will say, Father, I recommit my life to Jesus Christ, a man who is also God, who is the only hope of victory for me. I recommit or give my life to this Jesus. How many will do that right now? Can I see your right hand? Now I ask you a question. Do you mean that? Yes or no? Stand up with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, Jesus told Thomas in John 20:29, Thomas, or 28, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. John 20:28-29. Father, we can't see you, but we see you with the eye of faith. We see you in your word, which is absolutely reliable. And your word tells us that the power of Jesus, your son, is the only power that can control the devil, subdue the devil, bind him, restrain him, handcuff him, and break his prisoners out of his cells. Dear God, some of us are bound by one bad habit or another. By one negative personality trait or another. We're just bound. We're just tied up. We're just in prison, kept there by the devil. Some of us may have cried, Lord, I want to overcome this thing. Tears for years, we have had no victory. Yet we call ourselves children of God. Please, dear God, help us to understand that every time Satan and Christ have met in battle, Satan has lost. And that record of victory can be reproduced in our lives. And so, Father, from your divine self, give us a hatred for the sins we love now. And give us a love for the righteousness we do not appreciate. Father in heaven, while we're on this earth, let us live as citizens of heaven, temporarily stranded on this earth. Make us spiritual beings, dear God. Let the things we love become hateful to us. Let us find no pleasure in sin. Let spiritual things become our highest joy, that we may be qualified to hang out with angels and unfallen beings. Ah, Father, help us to be tired of sin, falling every day, falling the same thing all the time. Let us find that victory by connecting ourselves with Jesus at the heart. Father, we answer now, accept your invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and the heavy laden. We come in our minds by simply accepting the invitation and we surrender at the feet of our Savior. Now, dear Father, put your brand on us, dear God. Put your stamp on us that we may be identified as yours. The devil will harass us but cannot possess us. So give us that assurance of victory through Christ. Now, as we leave today, let us leave with the divine spring in our step and the glow of hope on our faces, that from this day forward, our path will be one of constant progress upward, upward, reflecting you more and more. Bring us back tonight, dear God, to listen to your word. Give us an ever-expanding appetite for the word. Bring us back tonight, Father, with those whom we invite. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his victory at the cross and from the grave. And thank you for his soon return when he shall finally get rid of death, hell, sin, the grave, and Satan. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the power of the risen Savior be with us now and forevermore. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.